You know what time it is? That's right, it's a new ad. And this time I have two amazing stories for you to check out. First one is about a friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is quite frankly amazing. I don't like system apocalypses usually, and I devoured that one. So go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have two friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. A guy goes hiking on the Appalachian Trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time.
My advice would be use the niche. So what do we have in our little world? We have the Patreon to Royal Road model. So my chapter goes on Patreon. I get feedback in the Discord. So I have three tiers. So I get three sets of feedback as it goes down to each tier, right? Mm-hmm. And then I get feedback from Royal Road. And that feedback is unbelievable. The story is so much better because I listen to what they're saying.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything Lit RPG, Progression Fantasy, and Royal Road. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast about Lit RPG where football's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home. With me today is Ted Steele, who wrote a book about me that I didn't even know about. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Now that I've stopped the puns.
Stop the puns?
I have stopped the puns for you, yeah.
Oh, you have stopped the puns. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you said let's stop the puns, and I was like, we didn't start the puns.
I did, yeah.
You did.
No, wait, actually, I think, didn't you? Doesn't really matter. You write a story that's called Player Manager.
Yes.
And it's about football, of all things.
I thought it would be fun to, if I say football and you say soccer, that's going to cover both the bases.
Oh, well, no, that's a different sport. That's baseball.
See, that's a good pun. I like that one.
Thank you.
That's
thank
8
you,
out of 10.
You.
You get 8 out of 10 on that one. Because like there's this whole thing about should you say football, should you say soccer. Mm-hmm. One of my early reviews on Royal Road, the guy was like, it's a good book, but it's about soccer. Like I'm lying to him by using the word football.
Yeah, I mean, we can go into this debate. We can invite John Cleese and he can talk about it for like 5 minutes. But yeah, it's about that sport where you can only kick the ball and you can't carry it. And there's 11 people in each team. That's
unless
sport.
You're the goalkeeper.
Unless you're the goalkeeper. Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to ask me why I started to write this book.
Ha, jinx. No. Yes, I am. Damn it.
There's a kind of a famous computer game called Football Manager. Mm-hmm. And I played that to ridiculous amounts, like when I was young. And I was looking at Lit RPG and I thought, I would like to read that book mm-hmm. where that's the system and somebody is managing a football team. That mm-hmm. didn't exist. I had to write it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's basically the Rule 34 Lit RPGs.
The Rule 34?
Of Lit RPGs, yeah.
Oh, like if you can imagine it, it exists. Or...
That's Rule 35. Yeah, sorry, it's Rule 35. Rule 34 is if it exists, there's porn of it. And right. 35 is if it doesn't, you have to make it. And for Lit RPG, it's basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, I fell into Rule 35 then.
Yeah. Well, just Lit RPG version of it, which is like way more PG, unless you're on Scribble Hub.
I do have a player manager version on OnlyFans, but I don't publicize it. That was a joke.
Or was it? You decide.
Computer, I'm gonna do that.
your you were writing this because you loved the game and you thought like, hey, let's go, let's write it. Do you want to go give a brief synopsis about the book?
So the reason you said about Max is because my character is called Max. That's a coincidence. So Max is a normal guy in Manchester, in England, home of football, as you know. And he is given the powers of being a top football manager. That's the concept of the story.
Does every football manager have this? Because I thought Jurgen Klopp was just really good.
Well, I mean, there are hints in the story, like, how do you explain some of the things that these... like, I'm not joking. Like, Pep Guardiola is the number one manager at the moment, and he will take a player from one position and move him to another position. That doesn't make sense, but it works. And you think, okay, who's helping him? You know, which cosmic entity is on his side here? So Max gets this system, and it's based on Football Manager, basically. And there's a little bit of a controversy, let's say, or where in my head, when you get the powers, you don't get the job. Like, he doesn't just walk into Manchester United and say, can I be your manager, please? Like, he has to build up. And that, to me, was the progression fantasy of literally starting from nothing. Like, he doesn't even know anybody in the football industry, and he has to work his way inside that. Other people, they just want, just get to the top already. Like, just go to chapter one, World Cup final. That's what I like the,
and then again, we were talking about this before the podcast started, and the bonus in the Patreon stuff. And by the end of the book, he like plays soccer against God and defies the heavens. No, I thought the way you get into like soccer was just you, like, especially Manchester United, it's just that you take the early train and then it's like, no, what?
The early train.
And then you go back and home again?
Well, he actually has to go to Manchester United, Manchester City. Like, he earns experience points by watching matches.
Ooh, that's cool. That's fun.
That's the mechanism, basically. That's the foundation of the whole thing. So you get 1 point per minute by watching what we call Sunday League, which is just... you know, 11 guys from the pub against 11 guys from a different pub. Yeah. That's the culture in England. So he lives in Manchester. There's all kinds of these games going on all over the place. So he gets 1 point per minute. If he goes to watch Manchester United, he gets 7 points per minute.
Oh, wow.
But that costs money, and he doesn't have any. So, you know, that this is a constant theme of the book of he has powers and he can't use them because he has no money. And I don't want it to be easy for this guy. Like, why should it be easy? So he has to grind.
Yeah. Oh man, like that's like, I love these kind of stories that are actually like kind of slow. I love the Stormborn stories. I do understand where the idea of like becoming instantly OP is coming from. But if you're thinking about it, even Dungeon Crawler Carl is a very, very slow burn story. It's just that it doesn't feel like it, because the challenge is always matched to his level, kind of. But it's super slow. And I love these stories. One of my favorites are, ironically, a German historian writing about Great Britain. Rebecca Gably is her name. And she writes about the Warringham family and how they like rose to power, or like not power, but they're always kind of around when like there's a big king or whatever. And they're always like the right-hand man or right-hand woman to the king. So they're experiencing history as it unfolds and have their own little problems while it happens. And that's a very, very slow burn power fantasy too, right? Because it's ups and downs. And I love this kind of stuff.
I mean, the most interesting part of Spider-Man is just after he gets his powers, that discovery. And in like Max Best, my character, he gets the powers, and what is it? Like, he's got some screens in his head. He's got a shop where he can buy perks to upgrade the screens, but What do, like, there's no tutorial. There's no explanation. Mm. Like, he has to work it out step by step. Like, Spider-Man is like, oh, I've got webs that come out of me now. What do I do with that? Like, that's the fun part of the movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe I went on it too long. I don't think so, but...
Yeah, maybe not. Like, I think if you're talking about writing here, writing these kind of things, it's a tough balance between giving your character too much power at the beginning and making them seem incompetent, because you do want to have them like be competent, right? You do want to have that like really cool, like, oh, he can do something with this moment. Like when Peter Parker jumps off the roof and like he's gonna die. And then, oh no, in the last moment, he like actually manages to like shoot a web and then another web, and then he slaps into a wall. Okay, cool. Let's try again, right? So in the book, you can expand that, because you also want to, like, the characters can have other competencies other than the main skill. But yeah, it's some people on Railroad just like the formula, which is fine. So yeah,
the formula being numbers go up
yeah. And like, you never go down, you never do anything but the main thing, which is fine, but also size of life
while I thinking about it now, like, because you know, I don't think deeply about this story in a meta sense. I just write it.
Yeah.
And so because you said, oh, let's do this podcast, like, I've had to think about it more than I normally do. And
oh no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Like, oh, why do I do it like that? And yeah, his powers do evolve. I hope that is satisfying. He earns it. But like in book one, two of his best moments are like he's doing football without the help. So he's actually, he doesn't quite realize, but he's doing it on his own. And so you think, okay, he has learned some things from watching all these matches and from thinking about the sport, and you know, from like being a bit more of a leader. Now he can take that, and he doesn't rely on, like, Peter Parker without the bite isn't gonna go around solving crimes.
Yeah,
but like, I kind of wanted to hint that, like, maybe my character could be a good football manager. Like, he, you know, maybe he could do it on his own. You know, there's just a hint of that.
I like that.
And what I like about writing it is he can lose. It's not like Dungeon Crawler Carl. If he loses a fight, he's dead. And it's those books are great, but you don't really think Carl is going to die. Do you know what
Unless...
I mean?
Oh, wait.
Oh, and
unless
Princess
you
Fiona
meet Matt Dinnerman.
Like, Mongo might die, but like, the main characters are not going to die.
No. Everyone can die except for Donut. No, because like, not, I'm not saying it. Like if I were setting us up for like maximum emotional damage, just like I know my arch nemesis Matt Dinnerman is going to do, is Carl dies.
In the last... chapter.
And the last person alive is Donut.
Okay.
But she can't do anything on her own. And so her end is inevitable. And that's when the book stops. That's how you inflict maximum emotional damage.
Okay. So he dies like 10 feet away from the final exit. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
But he's not going to die before then. But in a sports book, he can lose.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and I'm very happy to write him losing, and like, my readers don't want him to lose, but like they accept it, and I try to keep it more or less realistic. Like, if he's got the worst team, he's not going to win every game, and so from that point of view, it's quite fun. It's quite a fun, like a twist on the genre or whatever, where I can give him setbacks in a way that maybe is harder in other.
Numbers don't go down. I think for you that's okay, right? Because like, people are used to the fact that their favorite team loses.
He himself is getting more skilled all the time. His personal growth is only upwards. That's true. But like, his team that he manages can have bad results.
Now that I'm thinking about it, because like I said before, my friend Sam insisted I invite you, and I'm quite glad that I did, But he was rightly so going on about your prose and how cool the story is. And I really do, it's a really good story. But I haven't gotten as far into it as I wanted to. This morning I woke up at like, I went to bed at 10 and I woke up at 2 and I started reading all the skills to try and go to sleep again, which is the stupidest idea I could have ever done. Why would I do that? But it was a good book. But the problem is like also like I only have time to read when it's like in the wee hours between like 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So I didn't have like much time to like read your book yet, but I will. It's going to be on my to-read list. That being said,
I think you are someone who's more interested in the quality than the quantity.
Yes, kind of. So when I'm out looking for people to sign, right? When I'm out doing agent stuff, I'm going out, I'm looking at people who love what they're doing. And for me, the easiest way of telling people love what they're doing is if they put time into the craft, because this is how I do it. Sometimes I feel as though some people are just pumping the numbers, right? They're just like just riding to market, riding whatever fits, and they're selling themselves out a little bit. And I don't think they necessarily should, because I don't think it's healthy in the long run. There are some people who literally just like two of whom I named Sean, like Sean Oswald and Sean Wilson, who just pump stuff out, and it's great, right? Because their brains just work just like this, like they have these, like, I'm going to be very careful in using this word because nothing about these stories is like simple or easy, but like a very clear structure. Guy goes from A to B to Z and punches things on the way. Like that's great, right? You want that. That's your hot dog. That's your McDonald's food. That's your comfort food. That's your currywurst, if you want to talk about this. Exactly. But yeah. Sometimes I like people who go out there and try cool new shit, because the genre in and of itself will not progress by retelling the same story over and over again. That market is taken. You got your Zodars. You got your First of Fires.
Yeah. I think it's quite funny to, like, if we imagine the Venn diagram of lit RPG and Football Manager, the computer game, which yeah. is basically a database that yeah. you know, manipulate and search, like, to say that's cool, that's quite revealing about you, Max.
It's about the pros, right? I don't know, do you know about Aced?
Aced?
Yeah.
What's that?
It came out like literally just like a couple of days after you, and I promise you.
Oh, Aced. No, yeah. That was before me. I take no credit for inventing sports lit RPG. I mean, in my head I did, but like there were lots before me, and Chinese web novels and stuff like that as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Like I found it very, very interesting because like both Aced and your story came out at kind of the same time, right?
Well, no, his was way before, I think.
I mean, on KU.
He took it down on Royal Road after it had been up for a while. And I guess that was to rewrite it and put it on Kindle.
Yeah.
But that it only just came out. It was strange. Yeah, it's a long time.
It's a portal book. So it has been like thoroughly edited. Like thoroughly edited. And that's what kind of like why it came out. And I got a friend, and he's this Australian tennis guy who loves tennis. And he said, I did not like Tennis Lit RPG, narrated by Jeff Hayes, was not on my 2024 bingo card. So it's been a year of these things popping up, and I do like it because it's not something new. But like I said, like it's not the combination. Like ideas are super cheap. It's the execution that's fun. Because you can write the stupidest idea and not have it be a good book, or you can write a great book. Like, do you know Tanking Hits, the story?
No.
The full title is Tanking Hits, I Level Up When I Get Kicked in the Balls.
Okay, now that you say the whole title, I watched that video with the woman who wrote that.
Dragon, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's a really good book.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a good book because the characters are interesting.
Right.
It's well crafted. The prose is good. Every chapter has like a cool beat in it.
Hmm.
Right? And that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. Whereas if you focus too much on the system itself, like, oh, I'm going to do a hockey lit RPG next, and I don't put any effort into the craft, there's no arc, then that will fail too, I think. Well, not fail, but like...
I mean, I think that what I've learned is there is a demand for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there are people, like a lot of the comments I get is like, okay, this is great, what else? What else is there? And it's like, okay, Aced and this Chinese web novel and not much.
I mean, one thing writes itself, right? Esports manager, lit RPG esports manager.
Sure. Yeah.
That's out there. Someone can write that if they want.
I mean, people talk about like other sports. American sports are probably just as good, maybe even better, mm-hmm. because they're mm-hmm. so numbers based. Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Surely baseball is the absolutely perfect. Sport.
Yeah. Game. Yeah. What was that? The movie.
Moneyball.
Yeah.
Moneyball is one of the inspirations for this, mm-hmm. for player manager, because, the idea is, so in your American listeners won't know the trading system, but that you pay a transfer fee to acquire the registration of a player. Mm-hmm. So you can buy Messi for 50 million mm-hmm. and sell Ronaldo for 60 million, whatever. So
can I?
Yeah, you can't, but I can in my world, because I'm the writer and I'm all. So like if my character sells one player for £2 million, then he can replace him for £1 million, the mm-hmm. same quality. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's how you build a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
So the transfer system is fascinating to a lot of people. For a lot of modern football fans, they're like, oh, who are we going to buy? Who are we going to buy? It's a complete mm-hmm. mania. And my book scratches that itch, because when he does get to be a manager, that's a big part of his job, is buying and selling players. And when do you do it? How do you do it? When's the right time? There's a bit of kind of, what do you call it? Base building. So he's got the stadium, he's got the training facilities. So when he sells this player for £2 million, do you buy a new player or do you upgrade the facilities? Do you improve the stadium? There's kind of a lot going on in these management games. It's quite satisfying to play them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you were saying not to focus on the system, but the system as a base is good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be good, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, in baseball, because in baseball, you would be the manager of the team, but then the owner would be making all the decisions about the team.
Depends. I mean, the Mavericks did exist, right? So, and they were like a very like tight, close knit group, but I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't know exactly how the system works, because it's all like, they all have like this like parent organization above them, like the National Baseball League, I guess, NBA. No, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so in England, most teams have an owner.
Yeah.
But the team Max Best goes to is owned by the fans.
Mm.
So he has this little crusade of, can I take a fan-owned club to the top?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in Berlin. In Germany, you have the 50+1 model. So that what that means is teams are at least 50% owned by the fans.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is make an English team more German. There you go. You like that?
I don't know. I don't watch football. I'm not a football guy. But
That reminds me. Okay, so we were talking before we started, before we pressed record.
It's on the bonus stuff. We did press record.
Okay, I didn't realize that was the bonus stuff. Otherwise, it would have been more interesting.
You were super interesting.
Okay, thanks. So you're going to let me answer the question now. Yes. What would I change if I could go back to the start?
I love that you're the first guest who asked the question himself. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm taking ownership. I'm taking take back control. That's what.
Are you going to manage this club?
Oh my God, it's just gone because I got so excited about it. I'm on my head again. Oh my God. Wait, so, you talk for a minute. You talk while
we're talking about 50 plus one. We're talking about the ownership models.
Oh my God.
And something you would change if you want to go back. Which is actually question three, not question two, but it's fine.
This is going to wind me up. We are not ending this call until I remember that.
Okay.
God damn it.
You heard it. No, I actually wanted to ask you about inspirations.
Okay. So, first of all, it's Football Manager, the game. I played it so much. Like, I don't even go to check what the text says. I just type it. And I think it's 99% what it says in the game, which, by the way, that's probably one thing I would have changed if I realized it was going to be popular. Like, I'm just stealing their content and I'm sorry about that. But like,
is it a Paradox game?
It's, well, the version I played was from 2001, which is the definitive version of that game. So obviously playing that for a long time, just the whole concept of football management games, you know, you're building the stadium, finding young players, like, it's very satisfying. But then there was a Netflix documentary called Sunderland Till I Die.
Oh yeah. That's fun.
It's great. And that's why Rob McElhenney bought Wrexham Football Club. So that documentary, Welcome to Wrexham, I watched it after I started. The real one was Sunderland Till I Die. That was my inspiration. I watch it all the time. I was watching it yesterday instead of preparing for this. It's just amazing. It's like the fans are so passionate. They're so committed. You really understand what it means when the team loses on a Saturday. Like, it has a tangible effect on the community. When they win, they're so happy. You know, it's like meaningful. And when you get inside the football club, they are so incompetent. They are so amateur. It is unbelievable to see, like, this multi, you know, £100 million institution with massive budgets carrying the hopes and dreams of the entire Sunderland community, and they are rubbish. Like, they are scout. Like, at one point they're saying, "Oh, what players can we buy?" And they say Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and like. Like, even if you don't know anything about football, it's like, okay, he's maybe a little bit out of your league. Like, that's not gonna happen. Why is he even on the list? They're so shit at their jobs. And I really thought to myself, my character Max Best, he gets some basic powers. There's no reason why he couldn't actually take over a football club, because he's gonna be better than them. He's going to be better than the real people who are really running those clubs. That's like, I genuinely believe that. And I think that comes out in the story. Like, the competition, like, they've got more money, they've got better players, but they're rubbish.
Until you realize that all institutions in the entire world are exactly like that. I've been in enough organizations to know that the fact that the human race still exists at this level of technology is nothing but a sheer miracle. Like, it is insane.
Yeah.
I've been to companies that build things that everyone needs without knowing it. You know, there's like, let me give you like a made up example, right? There's a certain amount, there's a certain screw that you use if you want to fasten tires, right? And let's say there's only one company in the entire world that makes these screws because they're hard to manufacture or whatever, right? They're not profitable, and there's only one single corporation that builds them. And if that corporation goes out of business, no one would know at first, and then no one could fasten their tires anymore. And then the entire world economy would just collapse. it's everything is held together with like spit and sticks and a little bit of gum. It's insane, but it's also kind of okay.
One of the challenges and like it's both good and bad of writing a story based in the real world mm-hmm. is, you know, how do you deal with real companies, real people, real events? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I might have done differently if I mm-hmm. knew it was going to be successful, mm-hmm. I might not have used so many real names of human beings. That's one thing I might have changed.
Yeah, like that's hard because you don't. Yeah, it's also like for copyright reasons, these people are like.
I don't have them doing anything bad.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
yeah.
like they exist. They play football in a different league to where my character is. So like, but I don't have the option of, you know, for example, I mentioned Pep Guardiola a lot because he's the Manchester City manager. He's the most successful at the moment. And like, basically my solution to that is when Max gets to the Premier League, he's not there anymore.
There we go.
Problem solved. But like, maybe if I could go back, I wouldn't even have him in.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously have watched Ted Lasso, right?
Yeah.
Is your name like a kick on that?
No. Ted Lasso is good, but it's the football bits are very frustrating. Like it's CGI balls that don't move according to the laws of physics. The players can't kick the ball. Like it's good. It's enjoyable. Some of the, like, it takes him 3 seasons to learn what offside is.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. It's not even funny enough to warrant that. Like you learn that on day one. I'm sorry. It just takes me out of the story a little bit.
It's like, I think the point that they make in Ted Lasso is that, and this is why I love the show so much, because he's doing my job. I have no idea how to program, but I can lead it. I can lead a team of programmers, right? Okay. Because the first thing I do is I fix the showers, right? I go in and then like in one company they were like, hey, we can't listen to music on the job. I'm like, what the fuck? Why not? Oh yeah, because of this and this reason. And I go to the people and I kick those reasons over because I want my people to like feel safe and calm, right?
Yeah.
So this is why I love Ted Lasso so much. Also, it's just a very wholesome thing. That's okay. why I like it. Yeah. But the football part, yeah, you're right.
I'm doing the same in a way. Like my character is much more combustible. Like if you push him, he'll push back. Like he's, you know, a lot of readers don't like him. That's fine. But generally, he's a good person trying to do the right things. In the beginning, he's 22. And when he's 24, he's managing a football team and he's going to make some mistakes. But he tries to do that. Like he'll fix the showers. He'll put the needs of the people first. But it's his job to pick the team and the formation and the strategy. And that's Ted Lasso's job, isn't it? So if he's not, like, if he was, like, Ted Lasso should be the director of football, for example. He should be one level above where he is in that story.
Yeah. I think one of the because I love Jurgen Klopp just because of his attitude. Just as I love Phil Jackson, I think most American listeners will know that one better than Jurgen Klopp. Because some of these football or sports managers, they just have that mindset that makes them good leaders, period, right? Where it's about, where it's mostly about helping people succeed in their jobs, not necessarily telling them what to do. Because like on the football field, you can shout as loud as you want. No one's going to hear you. They're just going to kick the fucking ball. Right? You have to let go.
I like that. Yeah. That's one of the things that frustrates me. And when you watch Sunderland Till I Die, the first manager that they have, he's on the sideline. He's gesticulating. He's shouting. His whole body language is like, I don't know what I do, what I'm trying to say, but I have to do something because people are watching me. And my character doesn't do that. He's like, we spent the whole week preparing for this game.
Yep.
Now you do it. But he also has the system helping him. The players will more or less do what he tells them to do in his head. So, but I agree with you. You want a manager who liberates you and gives you ownership. But the specific job of a football coach, one problem people have is what is a manager and what is a coach?
Yeah.
That's a topic that comes up. So a football manager is the guy who his main thing would be like buying and selling the players.
Yeah.
And the coach is like on the day-to-day training pitch doing
yeah,
all
yeah.
My character has to do both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, he has to try to like, yeah, fix the showers, set the culture. Mm-hmm. One of the early chapters, I think it's in book two, it's called Culture. Mm-hmm. And it's all about this old way of doing things, this macho mm-hmm. bullshit that's yeah. not conducive to getting in the top talents that we need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he tackles that in his own unique way. Mm-hmm. And like that... that some of that stuff is Ted Lasso-ish.
Yeah, which is nice. No, like I just mentioned the show because I like it. And I mean,
oh,
your pen name is also Ted.
It's great for me. Ted Lasso, welcome to Wrexham. It's generating mm-hmm. interest in the sport. And I get mm-hmm. people who go, hold on, because you're going to ask me a question.
Am I?
I kind of prepared a little bit. So someone on my Discord, on the Player Manager Discord, was saying, how do you explain Player Manager to somebody? Because people who like lit RPG don't want to read a soccer book.
Yeah.
And people who like sports don't want to read lit RPG.
Mm.
And so somebody said, Player Manager is a Ted Lasso setting with a Miles Vorkosigan protagonist. And I've said that wrong, I know.
Miles Vorkosigan?
Thank you. I had never heard, I don't know how that's possible, because then the next 20 comments were like, these are my favorite books.
Yeah.
And so on. Like, I've never heard of it. So that's my pitch for what Player Manager is. If you understood that sentence, that's what my story is.
I mean, I think it was Turtaloon who loves the Vorkosigan saga. So maybe that's a book for him too.
He did what?
He loves the Vorkosigan saga.
Yeah. I read a little bit of the like the wiki, like what it is. It sounds brilliant. And it does sound like my main character. Like, oh, okay.
He described it as Tyrion Lannister in space. So
Tyrion Lannister in space. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
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 Makes sense, eh?
My character's a 6 foot tall Tyrion Lannister.
Makes sense. There we go. There's a certain charm to people like fish out of water stories, but where the fish takes charge, right? Because Tyrion Lannister has no business running that city other than being smart and having like common sense and not taking bullshit from anyone,
right?
And like that's alluring to a lot of people, because a lot of people think they have common sense, which is one of the biggest lies humans tell themselves.
Yeah. My character has a bit of an advantage of coming from the outside. And although he's a football fan and he knows football culture, he doesn't have to say, we do this because this is what we do. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. That's
it's dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like coming from the outside and fixing a place is always about questioning why you do certain things. And at some point, people are going to snap and they're going to be like, we just want to do it this way. Like, oh, okay. Do you like what's coming out of it? No. Do you want to change? No. Okay.
Yeah.
But every time you fail because of it, I'm going to point at it. We're like, sure you don't want to change? Maybe. So it's a job. But tell me about the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer.
I want to skip to question three because
but you can't. It's my podcast.
I remembered it. So.
Okay, go ahead.
One thing I thought I was doing was explaining soccer to people who don't like soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So just enough so that you can follow the story. And I think I did it enough so that you can follow the story. My wife does not like football soccer very much. So when she started to read it, she was like, oh, it's better than I thought. And now she's a big fan, but like it was, I don't know, book four or something that I show her my drafts, and then she's like, oh, this is really good. What are the wings? Now, the wings are the sides of the pitch, right? So you have a left winger, a right winger. And I was like, okay, I should have explained that in page one of this book. You know what I mean? Like, that's a word I've been just casually tossing around for, you know, a million words. and you didn't know what it was. And so I didn't do a perfect job. Like if I was being mathematical about it, I would have said, okay, every time I use a word, I explain it. And that's what I would change. It's not a big problem. You can follow the book. You can understand it, even if you don't like the sport. But I could have done a little bit more.
So you're saying you can just wing it?
I am a winger of these books.
Nice. Yeah. That's a winging attitude.
A winging attitude.
Yes.
No, that's terrible.
Yes.
Don't put another syllable in a pun. No, veto.
Yeah, of course you can.
No.
No, of course you can.
What was the question you just asked? The real question?
Stop whinging.
What was question two?
Question two was one thing that you learned. That's number three. Two is best advice you've ever gotten as a writer.
Oh, I mean, there's so much, right? What I want, like, if there's anyone still listening to this who is trying to write a lit RPG, my advice would be use the niche. So what do we have in our little world? We have the Patreon to Royal Road model. So my chapter goes on Patreon. I get feedback in the Discord. So I have three tiers. So I get three sets of feedback as it goes down to each tier, right? And then I get feedback from Royal Road. And that feedback is unbelievable. The story is so much better because I listen to what they're saying. I'm still writing my own story. Like where it goes is up to me. But, you know, I get the sense from them like, oh, they like it when this happens. They like it when that happens. They like point of view chapters because it's such and such and not when it's this and that. Do you know what I mean? Most writers do not have access to this resource. And that is our advantage. And I think if you want to write the best book you possibly can, you should use the feedback you get.
Joke's on you. I don't get any feedback. Nah. Okay, I want to jump in here, like, because I do love my readers. But the thing is, like, at this point, I know what the first 20 chapters are going to be like for the thing. Like, the first five are just full of people who don't like the story and want you to write their story. Okay, cool. You can skip that. Or, like, you can like, have a friend sift through it and find out what the real issue is with the real thing. And then afterward, it only starts, you know, becoming, like, really valuable in my personal experience. Because otherwise, before that, like, if you're not completely standing with both feet on the ground and are very grounded, sometimes it can be very, very hard to read all those comments on Royal Road because people don't hold back. It's very easy to forget that there's a real person writing these stories and not just a machine that puts them out. So, yeah.
Dealing with feedback is very difficult. But for example, I had a chapter near the end of book one where two of the main characters go on a journey together. And my plan was to just have them in a cafe or whatever, having the conversation. And by coincidence, because what readers do is they speculate about what's coming next. And so it was a German reader, I think, actually. And he said, they should go in the car to Liverpool because that's thematic, because that's like an echo of when they first met. And cool. I was like, oh, that is so much better than what I had. And I wrote it and it's a good chapter now. And like, if I didn't have this just idle comment in the Discord, then I wouldn't have a good chapter. That's what I mean. I don't mean like just give everybody everything that they want all the time. I'm like, there's good advice. There's good, like when I have a chapter that doesn't quite work, they don't just slag me off. They will also say, what if you change this? A chapter that I had some difficulty recently with, they said, well, if you move the break from there to there, it will flow better. And I'm like, yeah, but then I lose the theme. And it's just like an interesting discussion point. And it has really helped me.
Cool. So you are working with themes.
Themes are massive in what I do. So you in book one, you won't see it so much. By the end, there's because he goes to Chester Football Club. So there's a chapter called Chester Zoo. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the first one when I started to really try to do themes. So every character is related or like likened to an animal in a zoo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's quite simple. It's not spectacular. But, you know, when you get the theme, you're like, oh, and you read it again. And you're like, oh, he's the gorilla. Mm. Oh, she's the lamb. She's a swan, whatever. Yeah. And I like doing that. And now when I moved from doing three chapters a week to two, so they're longer and each one normally has a theme. Mm-hmm. And I write the chapter in a draft. And then I think, okay, what's the theme? What does my character think? What does he believe? What's going on? What's important? Mm. And I write it again with this theme. Sometimes it might be like a medieval Islamic poem. One time it was this Japanese concept of the eight views. Mm-hmm. So they'll do eight paintings with a certain style. I use these themes heavily.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's very fun to write that.
Yeah. I think Sam actually, he didn't sell me. Like, I was already contacting you by the time he wrote me, because he kept writing me because I didn't tell him I already invited you. It was fun. I like having people write me every day. And he said, like, you did one that was based on the West Side Story, which I really liked.
So, okay, it's just amazing how all these coincidences happen. My character is connected to a football club called West Didsbury. That's a place in Manchester. So there's a West. Mm-hmm. And he's got his main quest. And this is a little bit of a side quest for him. Mm-hmm. So it's the West Side Story. It completely goes. And now then I did ham that one up a little bit. There's like characters clicking their fingers, doing the, you know, the gang dances and stuff.
Nice.
He goes on a big rant about what the future will look like. There's two gangs, the Sharks and the Jet. And like, it's fun.
It's really fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love when you like, that's one thing. That's one thing that Lit RPG allows you to do, or, you know, self-pubbing in general, is you can have fun. You can just like write a chapter about like stuff like West Side Story. You can have a beach chapter. And I don't know if traditional publishers are quite ready for that stuff yet, because they're like, but is a wasted space. What are you talking about? Right? And because, like, I don't think they understand that there's way more readers than you think that are just out there ready to consume stories on a regular basis. They just kind of like accompany you through your week.
Yeah, I have. If I don't publish on Monday, Friday, then they talk about having withdrawal symptoms. And they're like, it's like crack is how they describe it. I never thought I would write something that would be so eagerly consumed and you know, looked forward to and everything. It's really fantastic. It's addictive. You asked me why I'm in the bit before or after. In the bit after, you asked
before.
Yeah, but it's going to be after, isn't it?
No, it's going to be before. I'm going to be like, this is how this works, by the way. If you're on YouTube, hi, by the way. Yeah. We record about 2 hours. The 1 hour that is on YouTube is on YouTube. Yeah. And the before and the after, where we just talk about all the other stuff, goes on Patreon. And that's how that works.
Oh, there is an after as well as a before.
Yes.
Now I understand.
You know, kind of like wings.
Ah, okay. Well, the left wing was bad. You can skip that.
No. Stop trying to scare people away from my Patreon. I need money.
Yeah, the after bit will be great. I forgot what I was saying now.
That's okay.
I got silly.
We were talking about... now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about like West Side Story, side stories, crack, you being basically selling crack, people looking forward to reading your stories, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The whole model is wild, really. I had a one, a three, and a $10 tier. And I really put the $10 as a psychological trick to make people upgrade from one to three. You know, that's something I read in a book once. But almost everyone is on $10. It's it's mad. Like the people who like this really like it. Like that's one thing, and it's so satisfying. Ah, that's what I wanted to say. That's one of the reasons I'm writing so fast. Like I'm just whizzing through these books because I can manage two good chapters with a theme twice a week. I can do that.
How long are they?
So they will be on average like 10,000 words.
Oof, that's long, yeah.
I mean, this one that's coming on Friday, I don't know how long it will be, but then I can, I'm quite sensitive to how close I am to burnout or whatever.
Yeah.
I think this weekend I will do like a 5,000-6,000 word. That cool. To me is relatively short and quick.
Last question, sorry for the tangent, but are you full-time writing or is this...
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I live in the countryside in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to do. So I'm very happy to do this. This is beyond my wildest dreams, to be honest. Like I am writing about football and people are reading it. It's amazing.
You getting a kick out of it?
I get a kick out of it, Max. Yes, Max.
Good. Wonderful. I mean, like just making you laugh is just my goal.
Okay. Yeah.
So you were saying? So
the score is 1-0, is it?
Yeah. I got to be careful though, because like I don't know many football terms that I don't want to get caught in the offside.
That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. No. In German, it does.
Okay, let's do
size all around. Let's move on. All right. So
I have a question for you. Who is Sam? Okay. You keep talking about Sam. Sam seems like a great person.
Well, that's funny because we were talking about people like having double names. So you and Ted Lasso, me and your main character, and Sam is both the name of my main character in my book, but also a friend of mine who goes. I can't say his name. I don't know if he wants to get like identified, but he's a friend of mine. He's in my writer group, and he's writing really cool stuff.
Okay.
And we just like we have like this like we're like 10 people, 15 people, and we just chat all the time and go like this book is cool, that book is cool. Here's what's happening right now, and here's what I'm writing and stuff.
Mm. It's just interesting. Like I don't, I'm not so needy as a writer, but the idea that he's writing to you every day going, oh, get him on. Like, I don't know. I'm like, he sounds like a great guy.
He's good. Yeah. But he's like, we liken him to a capybara. He's great. Oh, okay. He's really, really great. Yeah. I can't even say like what he does and where he lives and everything, but, he's just a really, really chill dude, and he should really be releasing one of his books soon.
Oh.
And not start another one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Dude,
you've got to finish. That was a little soccer pun.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. You came in with a soccer punch.
No.
That was good.
Sucker punch? What does that mean?
It's because it's like a surprise and it's like a sucker punch, but it's also because it's a soccer punch.
Okay,
you said
that one was a little bit lost in the accent. Okay, no, that was actually the best one. That was fantastic.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. I actually have one more that only works with my accent.
Okay.
Why does figure skating look so effortlessly beautiful?
Go on.
Because it's easy on the ice.
Easy on the ice. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think someone just unsubscribed from my Patreon prematurely, like 2 months in the future. Okay. No. Okay. So tell me about one book that you love and why is it awesome?
So ages ago, I think it must have been in the 2010 or something. I don't know. It must have been on The Guardian. They had an article about parents struggling to get their kids to read. And I don't know why I decided to read that. And the first book mentioned was called Holes by Lewis Sacker.
Oh God, I know that book.
Have you read it?
No, I read Boot Camp. which is a little bit like it.
Okay. So the mother said to her son, who didn't like reading, what we'll do is we'll read one page at a time. And if you ever get bored, then we'll just stop. No hassle, no pressure. Of course, the kid loved it, read the whole book. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Went to get the book immediately, read it in like an hour. And it's just one of those books where it's so incredibly satisfying. Multiple timelines resolve into one. You should read it. Maybe this is what you need for your writing. And like how to resolve it in a way that readers just go mental. Like it's so like, oh, like that curryverse hit the spot. Curryverse and a glass of wine. That's what it's like.
Yeah, making it sound like it's the Holy Bible.
In terms of structuring a book and having like a natural, up and down of the story. Did you just do a pun?
Yeah, you didn't.
Holy Bible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's blasphemy.
That is awesome.
You just lost your right-wing American base there.
Why?
Because it's blasphemous. To make jokes.
What? The Bible's a blasphemous? What are you talking about?
Holy Bible. That's shocking.
Yeah. I actually got that joke. Actually, shout outs to Gears of War 2.
Okay. Everybody who wants to write a good book should read Holes by Lewis Sacker. That's that is the Holy Bible.
It's religious. Yep. It's definitely the book that I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, exactly. So I read one that came out after that.
Is it the same author?
No, but it's kind of like how trad publishers like release all the reason a theme, and that one was called Boot Camp. But I think it was a little bit like that, just like more depressing. So
great. Yeah, it's not a depressing book. It's it's not upbeat, but the ending is the. Like it's just a 10 out of 10 experience to read that book.
Yeah, I really need to go on that. That sounds really good. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, we got some more time to kill. We can do shout outs now.
Shout outs are hard. I told you that I don't have time because I'm really just thinking about Max Best 24 hours a day, basically, which is great, but I don't have time to read. And when I start to read something, I just can't get into it. It's really difficult. So I'm going to give shout outs from the point of view of my wife. Now it's hard to explain this. She's not interested in any of this shit. Like she doesn't care about goblins. She won't read anything with zombies, like a 2d6 dagger, like get that away from me. Like she's not
for me too, please.
Yeah. So like she is the opposite of the in the Venn diagram of people watching this YouTube video or listening to this podcast, she's not interested. She's over there. And she is a fucking mega fan of The Wandering Inn and super supportive.
Okay.
Now yeah, those supportive people, they don't need recommendations, but like that's the one that I see in my life where somebody who is just a normal is just mega into it. Like she just finished Wandering Inn book 11 and she couldn't wait the weekend for book 12 to come out. So
Witch
she started
the
reading.
Webs.
Say again?
Witch of the Webs.
Right. So I bought it for her and she couldn't wait. Like she's so into it.
It's, I listened to Andy Parsnow narrating this because sometimes I hang out with Andy on her Discord, which is, I guess, my shout out. You can listen to her narrate all sorts of stuff. Also Kale Plattman's Tower of Somnus series, really good. But she records
it live and you can hear it.
Yeah. You can just hang out with her and you can listen to it and it's great. Jeff Hayes does the same thing. Huh. Justin Thomas James does the same thing. Heath Miller is right now narrating He Who Fights with Monsters number 12, and he stole my pun. I don't think he stole my pun. I think he made a pun about himself, but he calls the show Heath Who Narrates He Who Fights with Monsters, which is fun. I titled my show Heath Who Narrates Monsters. I think that's funnier, but that's okay. Anyway, so yeah, like, which of the webs is... Oh my God, it's such a good performance. Andy knocks it out of the park so hard. And like, I just listened to like a couple of lines of it, and I listened to it, and within like 2 minutes, I was like, yep, it's a Pirate ABBA book. Because my God, like this person invented emotional damage. Like, holy fuck. And she doesn't, she has like, she or he or they have no mercy, like, at all. It is crazy.
Okay.
Anyway, I can highly recommend that if you ever have like a couple of years to get caught up.
That's the problem, isn't it? Like, like so many books, and I don't want to write a 28 book series called Play Manager, but it looks like that's what I'm doing, because I wouldn't start 28 book series.
Yeah.
That's meant.
Yeah, we should maybe talk about this in the Patreon content too.
Okay.
About like the length of the series. I also have like more questions to ask you here. Like, for example, how you do your research, and you know, if you're a pantser or a plotter. And like, you talked about your process a little bit already, which I found very interesting.
Do you want me to talk about that right now?
I mean, like, pick one. We can do that before, for the next 10 minutes.
I think it could be interesting. For most people, this is all incredibly boring, but the plotting way.
Why are you like bashing my podcast while being on it the entire time?
It's the process of like listening to someone else, like, it's not relevant to your needs, but like, you might be able to get something out of it somehow. So I'm going to say it.
Go question, on. Question.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy listening to it when you listened to it to prepare?
This podcast?
Yeah.
I don't like the puns.
That's not the answer.
anyway,
thank you so much, everyone. That was the good.
I find it interesting to hear what other people are talking about. But sometimes for me, it's a little bit what the Americans call inside baseball. Like, you're saying, oh, and then Heath did that and Andy did that. Mm. And I don't know who you're talking about.
Makes sense.
And, okay. I mean, even though I'm kind of, I guess, sort of in the industry a little bit, like, you can't just throw out... I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just giving you my honest feedback, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who you're talking about, and I haven't read that book that you're referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm like, I can't get the point of that particular conversation.
Mm. Well, you can always find the book underneath the podcast in a link.
Okay, I'm going to go read the book. Read eight He Who Fights With Monsters. And then I'm going to go back and listen, and then I'll understand that one reference.
No, but that's good feedback. And I think we can even leave this in the podcast, because like, sometimes it is kind of hard to remember that some people haven't read all the books.
Yeah.
That there, like, some more explanation might be needed. Thanks. That's
it's
nice.
Just like, it's that thing, like, I'm writing a soccer book, but do I want to exclude people who don't like soccer? No, not at all. Yeah, right. So, it, like, for the people who are really enthusiastic about lit RPG, that's probably your core audience. So you're serving them.
Yeah.
But I like, I don't know. That was
I got you. I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
Like question you were going to answer though was one of the three.
I guess it was a mix of, am I a pantser or a plotter?
Cool.
And my process. So my character exists in the real world, and there's a real structure to a football season. You play 46 league games. You play in different cup tournaments that are happening simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the skeleton of the book. Now, what I've realized is that one year, one season takes me 3 books.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to do it faster. So I've got 3 books, and that's going to be 1 year of my character's life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to start the next. So, a series of 3 books will start in the summer, where he's recruiting new players and having a break. Mm-hmm. And he does some things, right? That's an opportunity for me to do something completely different than the normal daily grind. In a recent book, he was in Germany for the coming European Championships. So he was there as a kind of, I don't want to say what he's doing there, but he's there. That's completely different from his normal routine, which is good for me as a writer. Then he comes back and it's the start of the season and you'll get about 10 games in that first book. Then there's going to be like 20 matches in the second book and 20 matches in the third book. And then it's, he wins the league, he loses, whatever. That's the final climactic moment of the season is the end of the third book. So every chapter is about, it can be a week, it can be 2 weeks, it can be 90 minutes. Like I can really go into one particular match, but I have to cover 3 months or whatever of life in 15, 16 chapters.
And I recently discovered or recently started skipping fight scenes in my book.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like for you, it would be a soccer match.
Yeah.
Which has fight scenes in the wings. I learned something today.
Awesome.
But like, yeah, like sometimes you have to like figure out when does it become samey. Maybe like, I don't know, like I don't know your structure, right? But you were saying like you can't cut this any shorter, and I was like, you could skip a year.
Not in a satisfying way.
That's the point.
Yeah,
there you go. Then I'm waiting for book 28.
So, you just said something really interesting. The fight scenes, yeah, skipping. So far, I mean, I'm on book 10. So far, I've been able to make every match scene interesting, or at least you shouldn't feel the need to skip it. I know that because my wife hates football and she doesn't skip it.
Yeah.
And she normally says, oh, that was good. And some of the reaction to these football matches are unbelievable. Like, I don't know how it is with the guys who are writing, you know, fights and battles and stuff, but people will be like, they'll leave comments like, okay, it's an hour later. My heart is still racing. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm just like, oh, and then he scored a goal and then he didn't score a goal and then he scored. That's how it feels on my end. But the readers are like, oh, what's up?
Are you experiencing? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Like for me, whenever I'm writing a fight scene, I'm in that, right? I'm like really deep in it. I'm more like choreographing it.
Right.
I'm more like, you know, like, well, okay, then maybe she blocked. Nah, it doesn't make sense. Like she does this and this. That could be kind of cool. But then once you get into the rhythm, for me at least, this is what makes writing fight scenes so much fun, is that everything becomes like this and then that and then this and then that. And it's fun.
I think what I've done well so far is the main character's interest is in a certain aspect of the match, of the fight, let's say. So sometimes he's a player, so he, you know, he's the player manager. He's not just the player or a manager. Royal Road feedback: too much player, too much manager. Okay, thanks guys.
At the same time.
Yeah. Sometimes if he's playing, then it's a little bit more like a traditional fight, right? He's literally in combat with his opponent. Okay, great. So that can be, if that's his focus on the day. For example, if there's a particularly good defender on the other team, that raises his competitive level, and he's like, okay, I need to beat him. Like, the only person on our team who can beat that guy is me, and that then it becomes more of a traditional gladiator moment. But then he's the manager as well, so even when he's playing, he's thinking strategically. It's like, okay, well, I'll change the formation and we'll have more players on that side because that's where they're weak. So his focus can be quite specific on one part of the pitch or quite meta on the whole. And I think that gives me a lot of flexibility in how I present the match. Then I can also abstract it completely. For example, the next chapter I'm going to write, I'm going to have 3 or 4 matches that are only referenced on a podcast episode.
So in the first show. Yeah.
It will be the fans describing their experience of those matches.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
And that allows me to skip 3 weeks. And, you know, I have a few little tricks like that. I'm on the lookout for more tricks. Maybe your friend Sam can help me.
I'm going to ask him, yeah.
Yeah. And so like by coming at it from lots of different angles, from how interested Max himself is in a particular game, because he will tell you like, this is not an interesting game. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be like, yeah, we won. Okay, next. Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't write 46 battle scenes. That's true.
Poor thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the end, and that's my advice that I always give people when they ask, like, oh my God, my book's getting too long. Mm-hmm. Is you were talking about themes, but when I use the word theme, I have it more as an overarching theme of what the story is really about.
Okay. Right?
So He Who Fights with Monsters is about what's on the title. Okay. It's about a guy. It's about a guy fighting with himself to keep under control the powers that he unleashed in order for himself to feel safe and not get crushed under the foot of like those who are more powerful than him. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like an internal, external kind of like struggle thing.
Yeah.
For example, The Band, the other story that I'm writing, like on the down low, is about sometimes life sucks, but everything gets better with friends and music.
Yep.
Right. So that kind of stuff. So if you know that theme, then you can decide which scenes don't matter.
Right.
And then kick them out. So for example, if I were... Okay, this is, in Lit RPG, it is hard, right? Because in traditional publishing, it's like, would you write a scene where, I don't know, Goethe's Faust, right? Where he goes on a shopping spree and buys all potion ingredients and just like has some fun in the city? No, you wouldn't. In Lit RPG, you can. That's okay, the issue.
Let me suggest, so Ted Lasso, the worst episode, is Coach Beard goes and has a 24-hour bender. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I haven't watched more than season 1.5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's not... You could cut that easily. Yeah. It's just, I don't know if it was like a deal with the actor, like he needs screen time. Like that's what it seemed to me. Like it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you like the character, then you get to spend time with him. So like you can do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right? Like you can always like have these things or not have these things. In the end, like if you, it's also about the promise you made your readers,
right?
If you promise like, hey, I'm going to explore every single second of this person's life that might be impactful in some way, shape, or form, then you're going to be stuck writing this. Talking about myself for a second here, like this is something I struggled for with Torchbearer. Because I was like, okay, this could easily be a 9-book series where each book is like 250,000 words. And then I was like, or I could cut all of those characters that I really love and put them somewhere else. And that hurt. But now I actually have like a very good ending in mind that I can end on book 3 because like, yeah, you also have to think about the financial side, right? Because right now you're doing this beside your job or as your job. And the sales are good. But like they will peter off as the series goes on. It's always like this. And by the time you're reaching book 28, I'm not quite sure if like, not because anything is bad, just like natural attrition, right? If by book 28, people are still going to be like, hey, look, I'm going to be reading this every day. Maybe. Yeah. Like Friends ran for like 15 million seasons.
Right.
So just be wary of jumping the shark. Is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you will, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm the, in my Discord, there's a guy who is playing Football Manager with a Max Best character that he generated and edited into it. So he's used the database editor to create Max Best. He is currently in, I think it was the year 2038 of this game. And Max Best has played 128 games for England and blah, 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 blah. Like, he is just going, like, he's not bored of this. He's not bored.
That's great.
You know, I am not bored. And there's still so much to do. One of the reasons I wanted to start him at the bottom, this is, I was thinking about this would I change it and put him at Manchester United on day one? Mm-hmm. Like, would I do that? No. Could I go down a couple of divisions? Yeah, maybe. But then I would miss so much of the basic grassroots level football that a top manager would not be involved in. So I used that time to do a lot of scenes that can't come later when he's so famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, yeah.
I still have like, he hasn't even touched the stadium yet. Like it's, there's so much to go.
That's also awesome. Like I really like, I love it, and I love that you can keep writing this, and I love that you are being successful with it. Like this is great. Thanks. I really do like it. Cool. That being said, this is the end of the main YouTube podcast. Any last words?
Yeah, watch Sunderland Till I Die. if you like that, you'll like Player Manager. That's the easiest way around to do it.
I'll go to Sunderland right now. And when did you say you were going to die?
In 1928.
It's a time paradox. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, you were saying?
I wasn't saying anything. I thought the podcast was over. That was a good place to stop.
Nah, the podcast is over when I say it's over. All right. No, we're going to keep going for another like couple of minutes, I think, after the show is over. And then we're going to put that on Patreon too. But otherwise, thank you everyone for listening and or watching. And if you liked this episode, please do like, subscribe, comment, follow, whatever. Like, you can rate me on Spotify. You can rate me on iTunes. I think those help. I'm not quite sure. Just do it, please. And yeah, do leave a comment if you want. I would love to hear that you like my puns, because no one else does. And that's quite hurtful. But that's okay. All right. Thank you again for listening and or watching. And I'll see you next time. And if you're on Patreon, the show goes on.